Bigfoot? Is it real or is it a hoax?
For ages, he has hidden in the forest, eluded hunters, baffled scientists, and remain a mystery.
My entire life I've seen shadow people.
For powerful and effective constipation relief.
Hello, and how the devil are you?
Yeah, not very well.
Yeah, you're not very well.
But I keep losing my voice, so Andy's going to do all the talking.
Yeah, most of the talking.
So today we have an interview with...
Karen Dalman, and she was fantastic, mate, wasn't she?
Yep, she was, and she basically, she's into everything Ouija.
Yeah.
Ouija board. Is it a... Ouija-ologist.
Yeah, quite strange, but...
Okay, so she's an hypnotherapist, a psychiatrist.
Yeah, psychic medium.
So...
Everything. It was a pleasure to come on the show.
We covered a lot of stuff, didn't we?
We did. And she was really, amazing.
From ghosts to aliens, and even Bigfoot got mentioned.
I think you mentioned a bit about Bigfoot. I think we've got into dogma now.
You know, he's managed to creep in there somewhere.
Yep.
Well, hopefully this is going to be the last recording on the old shitty mics.
Yeah, we're just waiting for these new mics to come in, and then we're away, aren't we?
Yep,
we're away.
So
wait for these ASAP.
Yeah, so we won't bore you too much right now because it is what it is. So, without further ado, let's get into
Karen Dalman.
It's a bad choice of words again, wasn't it? Why did I say that? Without further ado, we give you...
Karen Dalman.
Okay. Well, listen, guys, thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm looking forward to our discussion we're going to get into. Just so you know a little bit more about me, I live in the United States. I have a different accent than your probably listening audience does. My background is, as a child, I was able to see spirit. I saw many different beings and communicated with them, and I think how my family wanted to liken that to, they'd call it an imaginary playmate. It wasn't imaginary to me at all, and there was many beings that came as a young child throughout. I tried to put that away as I got a little bit more into grade school. It just wasn't normal to talk about these things. But because of what had happened to me earlier, I couldn't explain it. I really had a drive, propensity within me to pursue this and understand it in a more scientific manner. So when I went to college, I wanted to be a psychiatrist, a medical doctor, so I could study such stuff that happens to people. You know, people are usually called crazy if they hear voices or see things, and I knew that. But as I got further into school, I discovered art therapy and working with people in a natural means with proclivities or talents or abilities that are within them they may not even have known. And so using art allows one to go into, like, if you will, an altered state, so they can bring up stuff in their subconscious or unconscious, and that can be worked with further through the art media. And that was like fitting me like a glove. And
right,
I was super thrilled. And so what happened was I went through graduate school and became an art psychotherapist. And so went on and got my licenses as a professional counselor in two different states, and then also registered art therapist and board certified. And I carry all these credentials to today. But my main thing was science first, working with human nature as well as first, and then what's going on beneath the scene. And that's where it started for me in terms of why I wanted to pursue psychology and where that came from.
Right.
Fair enough. So the spirit board itself, obviously is most commonly known as the Ouija board. But how far back do we know that this particular item goes back?
We know exactly where it goes back to. There's been some great researchers out there. Robert Murch is one of them. Gene Orlando is another one. They have the biggest websites. One's called the Museum of Talking Boards, and the other one's called WilliamFold.com. And I learned a lot from them, and now we are friends because we're all considered collectors as well, and we have a love for the board. So I can tell you exactly where it came from. Their research in the last 20, 25 years has done great wonders for this tool. Now, yes, I use a talking board. Okay, we call it spirit boards, talking boards, angel boards, or Ouija boards. But Ouija board is like, it's a brand name, okay? It's like saying, Coca-Cola. Yeah, we say Kleenex or tissue, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, but I have mostly Ouija boards. I collect really old Ouija boards. My oldest is 1892 circa. So how Ouija got started was in 1890. They went out to get a patent. It was granted in 1891. There was a board before that in the United States called the Witch Board. And that board we know existed because there was an article in some popular forums, newspapers, I would say, and journals that talked about President Grover Cleveland receiving one for his marriage to his wife, who was like 20 years a senior, I think, or 30. It was a big deal when he married this real young gal. But he got a witch board, and his response was, well, I may not be consulting this board for matters that have to do with the affairs of the country. But it was really clever. He even wrote back and said he got it. So we found all that, not we, but the people who researched it, and brought this forward. So we know there was a talking board, but it didn't take off. Until this group of investors, and the head of the investor was Charles Kennard, and he had a company called Charles Kennard Novelty Company. And they're the ones that put together and created this board, put the money behind it, and went to the patent office in 1890, and in 1891 it was granted, and it was named the Ouija board or the Egyptian good luck board. Ooh. And then later on they got other patents. But let me, this is the interesting part about it. This is a really cool story most people don't know. So they go to the patent office, and Elijah Bond is their patent attorney for this novelty board company or novelty toy company. And he takes along with him his sister-in-law, Helen Peters. Now, Helen Peters was considered a psychic in her own nature. And they came to the patent office, and every patent officer kept saying, no, no, you can't. It's rubbish, rubbish. We're not – that's the English word. I think that's why I use the word rubbish. Yeah. You guys said – we don't say that. I just thought it sounded good. They said it's trash. It's trash. It's not going to work. And then finally they asked to speak to the supervisor. So this gentleman comes out. They've never seen each other before. He goes, I'll tell you what. You use this toy that they patented, by the way, as a toy, more like a game. Okay. He said, I'll tell you what, you sit down with this toy, and if it can tell you what my name is, I will give you a patent right here, right now. It spelled it out. It said his name, and the guy was flabbergasted and said, oh my God, you get your patent. And that's how the story goes. So there was something to this. There was something they were tapping into. Was it telepathy? Was it ideomotor response? Was it the spirits? And see, it didn't matter to the people who created the Ouija board, because they knew something was happening, and it mystified, and it was stimulating and intriguing and interesting, and people wanted to use it. So they sat down one night at the board, and they asked the board, meaning they didn't really believe it was spirits. They weren't into that. They thought it probably was the ideomotor or something else going on here. They couldn't explain it. So they said to the board, what would you like us to call you? And the board spells out O-U-I-J-A. And so here's Charles Kennard, the board, and there's also the patent officer, the trademark attorney guy there, Elijah, and Helen Peters is there, and somebody else was in the room. And they said, well, were you guys thinking that? And they all said, no, I don't know where this came from. Well, then Helen Peters pulls this locket off her necklace, opens the locket up, and there's a picture of a woman in there. And it says O-U-I-D-A, they think. Because Ouida was the name of late 1800s feminist writer, a woman who went under the pen name Ouida, because you couldn't really be a woman writing. You had to be somebody else. It was looked down upon.
Yeah.
So okay. they believed that was Ouida in the locket, but Ouija is what came out, and it's actually pronounced Ouija. That's how they said to pronounce it in the original patent. So they went and trademarked it and patent Ouija because of that reason. And then it stuck. Mm-hmm. And they said, they asked the board, what does Ouija mean? And they got back, good luck. So they also patent Egyptian good luck board.
Ah, okay. Right, okay. That makes sense. A lot of sense.
Interesting stuff, I'm telling you. Fascinating.
It sounds like it almost started out as you know, nowadays, if someone mentions Ouija board, they come, you know, the Hollywood movies and all this sort of crap, don't you? So it's like, get that thing away from me, that, you know. So it looks like it started out as a useful tool rather than a negative thingy. So where did that sort of change? Is it, I mean, has that board always been, you know, destined to do that, or is it more of an illusion conjured up by the media?
Well, it's a little bit of both, and I'll tell you why. So here's this game, and it was marketed as a novelty item or a toy. Comes in the market, there's no instructions. Back in the original days, probably when William Fuld took it over, and that we can talk about that. That was like in 1919. But originally, it was the novelty company who had it, and William Fuld was a varnisher in the company. But back then, they didn't have rules. It's in a box. They may say, hey, have hours of fun, or sit across from a male, female preferred, you know, and that's basically all it said. And you ask your questions and mysteriously the answers appear, you know. There was no other instructions. There was no rules. There was just, it's this enigmatic tool and device that people can't wrap their minds around. So they always want to say, ooh, it's spooky. Something scary is happening. But it really came out, as you mentioned, it came out as this novelty item. It's just something fun to use. People pull it out in their parlors after they had their meals with friends, and they would use this as a tool. You know, they didn't have radio. They didn't have – they just had newspapers. You know, they didn't have much of anything else to entertain themselves than each other. I mean, go figure. We don't have that today. Yeah, everything's like electronic for us. But they would actually sit around in their parlors and pull this tool out. And by the 1920s, you know, we had World War One, and there was such – we suffered such carnage, as well as your country and many of the countries did. That spiritualist movement was huge in your country, our country, everywhere was propping up. And then the spiritualists really took over this tool and started using it, and people could do it at home. They didn't have to go to these big revivalist camps where you have the spiritualist leaders giving you messages, where there's a lot of trickery and fakery and hoaxes, where now you could do it at home. You know, they could pull this out of the box and immediately host their own seance or have their own communication directly with their loved ones who had just passed away. And then, of course, we came out of the Civil War when this tool was first developed. So it's like it was popular for those reasons. And it wasn't negative. It wasn't like you couldn't do this board on Saturday and go to church on Sunday. There wasn't a negativity associated with it.
Yeah, how, I mean, you're talking about, you know, a time where there's been a lot of loss and, you know, people trying to reach out to the other side.
So actually the board was kind of a switchboard then, you know, a telephone switchboard, you know, Daniel, are you my husband, are you there, you know, so
make
a phone call.
Or like
call.
First Coke.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. It served that what I like to call it is my wireless phone or cosmic phone into the ethers. I mean that that's what they were using back then, and they were making contact and hearing such information. Some great books came out of that time. So many great people wrote about this. So there's one by Darby and Joan, and they talk about their invisible guests, and it was about this man who was in World War One and was killed, and he was telling them all about what happened, and they got such great information. But also happening at the same time, people were starting to use the board as an excuse to blame and say there was people that went to trial. They said the Ouija board made me do it, told me to kill my husband or to do this to this person or this act or commit this crime. So that was always going in simultaneously, tangential, as these other stories were coming forth of these great encounters. But where the board really took its turn, and you guys nailed it a few minutes ago, was when you said Hollywood. You know, they ran with it. And I have to back up and say, so William Fuld had that board from about 1919, and his family owned it until 1966 when they sold it to Parker Brothers. And in 1967, Parker Brothers, their highest selling board game, outselling Monopoly, was the Ouija board. And so here you have this game that's selling over like 2 million copies, which was unheard of. And then, you know, Hollywood in 1973, December 26, releases The Exorcist with the board in it. It made perfect sense.
Yeah.
I mean, here was a tool that was in everybody's house. I mean, especially in the United States, it was in everybody's house, the Ouija board. You know, and then after that, you had all these copies coming out, all different kinds of talking boards, spirit boards, because of the great success of it.
Fair enough. So, with your background, I'm tempted to ask you this, and it's possibly a flat no, but I'm wondering if you've had some sort of paranormal experience yourself that led you into this realm, if you will.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. I talk really openly about it. Just so your listening audience knows, I have done the board now, been using it since I'm on my 44th year. It sounds strange, but it's true. And there was many years being a psychotherapist. I was a therapist since 89 for a good decade, and then went into some other industries and ran businesses, and so I had to keep it under wraps. So I thought, because people are judged, and I know in your country mm-hmm. they are too, and it's marginalized. Right? You said you're silly as toy. So I just said, you know what? I'm going to use my silly toy, if that's what you guys want to call it. I do so much more with it than just even talking to the deceased. And I thought, you know, I kept it quiet. But I had groups of people, professionals around me, all walks of people who would come to my sessions or work the board with me, who also kept it under wraps. And it wasn't until 2012 my first book came out, and then that put me on the map with the Ouija board. And then I wrote the second book, The Spirit of the Ouija, we're mostly talking about today. And that book was about my experiences from 73 on to that day. So I didn't come out in the public to 2012. So I'm coming on 5 years next month that I'm out in the public. But it took me a while because of all the experience I had as a child and feeling like that was always marginalized, even by my own family, thinking I was making stories up or pretend games, where I had this really wildly active imagination. And it's totally turned. My family totally supports me in this now, and they understand and they know the stories, and they fully believe me. But it's just that it was hard. You know, people didn't believe this stuff in the 70s and 80s and 90s. And people were just starting to get more into metaphysics in the 90s. And, you know, you didn't talk about this stuff. It was still considered stupid. But I said, you know what? It's time for me to come out and share my story. And so I talk very openly about my experiences as a child and these beings that I would see and talk to. And now where I am now in my life, it's like I just don't care anymore. It's like this is the truth. And too many people are trying to use this tool or working or awakening to these unseen dimensions. And I have an insight of my own, the only way I did it in the vacuum. I worked this tool basically with no guidance or teaching, no social media, that I just, it was such a positive experience for me that I felt like I can't sit here and listen to all this negativity about it.
Yep.
There needs to be flip side. I need to share my side too. I do. So that's what made me come out in the public and talk about it.
So obviously, I mean, I've got my own pendulum. So I can use my pendulum, but I mean, spirit isn't moving the pendulum. I'm moving my pendulum, which I know your higher self is moving the pendulum.
Correct.
So, the Ouija board, would you agree, Karen, that if you're in a different state of mind, say if you're, you know, you're a bit
depressed or
a bit loopy, would you get different results or different spirits coming through from Ouija? From the board
Great.
Itself. I mean, so Great if you're if you're a nice person like yourself or me, Lee, well, me, Karen, you know, you've got the board and you just, you know, we're okay, we've had a great day, we're not depressed. I mean, so what you're saying is we'll get good spirits through, but as a depressed person or someone who's a bit
like
psycho,
bipolar type thing, yeah.
You know, would he bring different entities through?
I love that you brought this up, Andrew, because that's definitely an aspect to this process, and I've discovered that over the years myself. And so I always talk about with people anytime you venture into the unseen realms, and even with sometimes when you leave your house, you kind of have to, let's call it, get it together. You kind of need to be in a better space. If not, your day is going to spiral more negatively downwards. You know, if you get in your car and you're filled with rage or anger or hate, you're going to be less likely to drive safely. So I look at it. To me, what you do with these tools is no different than how you go about living your life. You know you're going to have a better day if you can somehow bring yourself out of the doldrums and be in a positive space. But once you're depressed about something, it's, you know, it's hard. It's just harder. So these tools too, you're bringing energies to you. You're tapping into energies, whether it's your subconscious mind, your higher self, your EDM motor, or external spirits and energies, which I absolutely believe in for myself. You're going to draw that to you. So I say, check your baggage at the door, get yourself at least in a neutral spot, if not a more elevated, happy place, and then work any of these tools because you're going to have better results. I've seen it so many times.
Yep. And obviously, my opinion would be protect yourself first. Get yourself protection first, you know, and obviously. But I mean, I've heard many stories, you'll agree with me, Lee, you know, with once you use these boards, again, it's a tool, All it is a tool, you know, to work, you know, through spirit or through the realms. Once you open this door to whatever's coming out, can the door be closed? Because there's been many accounts of, you know, whether people have had a session on the Ouija board, the spirit comes out and they chuck the board out or close it, put it back with, and but they are still being
haunted,
physically attacked. So whatever's coming from the Ouija board has now manifested into the house or actually to the person.
Well, you know what's interesting about that? You don't need a board to do that, as you know. And thank you for saying it's just a tool. Although it was marketed as a toy originally, and it's still sold as a toy to this day, 8 years and older. I don't see it as a toy at all, and that's because I've just worked with it so many years. It definitely is a tool. It's like a, you know, like a pendulum you mentioned, or dowsing rods, or tarot deck, or crystal ball scrying, those kinds of things. So, okay. How I see this is, think about this. You have a relationship with somebody, and the person is like always needy or like a psychic vampire, always sucking the energy out of you, but you still hang out with that person. And so even though you don't want that person to be around anymore, they still call you. It's the same thing. If you don't have boundaries in your own personal life, it's going to be really hard to have boundaries when you work this tool. So I say, understand who you are first and learn to be centered in yourself, grounded within yourself, protection if that's what you feel like you need. I work with raising the vibration, but I look at boundaries. People write to me all the time and say, I've got the spirit, it monopolizes the board, it won't go off, and I'm seeing things in my house. And I said, okay, wait a second. Why are you still talking to it? Why are you engaging it? Oh, I'm like, you just got to stop talking to it. Stop bringing it. It's like this person that's a psychic vampire in your life that just sucks you dry. You might have to break that relationship off. It may be hard and takes a while, but you eventually have to do that if you want your own sanity, if you don't want to always having to be, you know, play their therapist. Yeah. And so I say the same thing here. You don't have to have these negative experiences. People choose it. You don't have to. And if you choose it, yes, you're going to attract to you what it is you expect, what it is you want, what it is you intend, what it is you fear. The biggest thing is, what do you harbor within? What are your fears when you come to these tools? We are working in dimensions that we don't fully understand. I mean, we don't even understand life. We don't even understand, you know, day-to-day living sometimes, right? So imagine now going in a place that you can't always see and feel and hear. And though this will open you up in many ways, you've really got to have your boundaries about you. It's really just basic science, basic understanding of just human nature. I think my background in therapy has really helped me to even become a better user of the tool. And also using the tool in these ways has helped me be a better person in life. Yeah. It's interesting how it all goes hand in hand.
Yeah, I mean, you hear so many accounts of, you know, hauntings, you know, when people are being haunted by a ghost, and if you do tell the ghost just to leave you alone, it's surprising how often that actually worked, you know. But it's probably the least likely thing you're going to think of at the time.
Correct.
But it's the most obvious anyway to point it out.
I always seem to, I've gone into a few haunted houses and people have had a few problems, but I've mainly find out that these entities are good people.
Yes, you know, thank you.
They just want to say hello. I'm here. You know, I'm here. I'm you know, I had one account a couple of years ago. Went to get a lady's house. She was frightened. All things was moving. It was just a guy who lived there 2 years ago. He died in the house, and he just wanted to say to the lady, because she was doing, because this guy, he loved his garden. He absolutely adored, and he kept a really, he loved his garden and all, kept it proper and everything. And this lady was just carrying on now, doing the garden, and he just came in just to say, look, you know, just thank this lady for keeping the garden, you know, really nice. But people think, oh, we like to flicker in, and I'm being possessed, and, you know, it's not, but it's people's minds, you know, and as I said, this guy just...
But it's fear of the unknown.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there's a couple of things I want to clarify before we move on, because we might forget to go back to him if we're not careful. The first is, you mentioned that you've been in communication with these people for, you know, through the spirit board for a long while. So first is, who do you think you're in communication with? And the second is, follows on from that, is where do you think these people are?
Because obviously,
you know, because we get like the conventional heaven and all that sort of stuff.
Well, that doesn't exist.
Well,
I told you it's not.
let's start with those two.
Fantastic. I love starting there. This is great because It changes. And so here I was, an eight-year-old, starting with this tool, and I was just speaking to, first of all, it started with a dead sister of two friends of mine down the street who came through, and I had no idea they even had a dead sister. And then they said, yeah, and she also is my age. One of the girls had a twin that died shortly after birth, and the one girl was 10, the other one was 8. The 10-year-old had this twin, and that twin was now 10 years old on the other side growing up. I went, what?
Yeah,
and
now
I have
cool,
8-year-olds learning this. And I'm going, I run home and tell my parents, and I'm Catholic and raised all that way, and we had a crucifix, we said the Hail Mary and our fathers, and all, yeah, the rosary, all a catechism, all that stuff, right? Yeah. I run home, and they were never afraid. They, you know, I got the board from Santa Claus for Christmas, and they were never afraid. They just said, okay, sure, you can talk to this Ouija board, really works. Sure, sure, wink, wink, I'm sure it works. I go, no, it does. I didn't know she had a dead sister. And they're like, what? But the thing was this, it was that I was starting to learn things right away from the other side. So originally it was deceased people. Then I experimented throughout the years with different people. We'd always talk to somebody who was dead, somebody's relative. That's what I thought you can only do with this tool. In fact, that's what it made it sound like when you see the movies or when you read about it. It was always about deceased people. It was a tool to use for people that were into the paranormal and talking to ghosts, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I did. I didn't know you could do more. So I kept developing over the years. And then I met this spirit with the help of my brother. And she was a deceased slave from the United States. She was killed by her owner. But she was a very educated. She taught herself to read and write. And she was hanging around. So she had not gone into the light, but she was hanging around because she wanted to share knowledge of different people. She found me. Came through. Her name was Wilma Jean, and we communicated for the next 15 years. And she served as my moderator, bouncer, gatekeeper, spiritualist, we call it the control. She was the one that would be at the other side of this communication device and bring through the spirit. So she'd go, okay, next, take a ticket, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, what we call in the UK, we call a guide, a spirit guide.
A spirit guide.
So she was a spirit guide, but she was from the United States. She was actually a human being. I've got different spirit guides I'll get into, but yes, I know you guys call that.
Yeah.
We may too. It could be a deceased person. So after 15 years of talking to her, all of a sudden things started changing. I was doing a lot of spiritual work. I was heavy into my therapy. I was doing past life regression work. I was doing hypnosis. I was doing this with clients. I was really expanding myself, my boundaries of consciousness, huge. And when I did that and started working the tool with people who were doing the same, we started getting extraterrestrials come through who were not dead. They were telling me stuff. Then I had angels come through. And then I met my main angel guide, and she came through, and then she talked to me about Wilma Jean, and we all had a conversation. It was time for Wilma to go into the light, and I had to let her go, and it was really bittersweet. And I was sad. I was sad but happy for her, and we said goodbyes. And then I worked with the angelic realm. And then I started working with animals. One of my cats came through, who was sitting there alive, started talking to me. And then I talked to deceased animals and alive animals. And then it started changing. I started getting all these different dimensions of spirit guides. Different octaves of experience from different galaxies. And now the group of beings I've been talking to since 1994 are a collective group of source beings. They're from the source energy. We call it God, all that is, the great matrix, divine directive. They are an expression of nothing but pure light. They've never been born in a physical body, but they have consciousness. They don't see. They have no eyes. They feel and read vibration. They are pure love. I've been talking to them since 1994. They are my main guides. My angel's still there. She comes through, and we talk to deceased people. And now I have a consciousness that talks to animals, the dead or alive, and all kinds of other beings. And so I have this group. It's a collective group. They work together. They're different souls, but they combined in a directive of source to work as one. It's beautiful. And that's where I'm at now. And I get so much validation for it. There's not even a question in my mind after all these years of working with them.
Okay. So that's just give me another 50 questions.
Oh, I'm sure we could just go on for hours.
Would you, I mean, with my knowledge as well, Karen, I mean, that sounds fantastic what you just said. Would you agree with me that obviously these spirits and these other entities, they are all physical? They are all on a physical realm. They are not, you know, they're not whisper smoke. I mean, that they are all these realms, all these dimensions, what you say, are they all physical?
Some of them are, but most of the ones I talk to now are not. The ethereal beings, the collective group, have never been in a physical form, never been in any kind of physical body. Mm. They're experience of light. They go, we try to explain to me what it is. This is what they said, the closest thing they can get to when they've told me in the most simplest way was, they said, we are a vibration, you are a vibration, the flowers on your table are vibration.
Absolutely.
But what what separates us is the rate of that vibration, which is our frequency. Mm. Our frequency is so high that we would not be in a physical form. We could not appear to you. Although in meditations, there's a representation of them in my mind that comes, and it's pure light. And that's all you can get from them. Now, I do talk to physical beings from other dimensions, and the consciousness of animals I speak to is just that. They're kind of like the oversoul of the various animals, and it comes through and it has a name, and it's just a consciousness, and then it brings in the individual animals.
Yep.
For example, if some animal's deceased and they want to talk to that specific animal, they'll bring them through and the animal will talk. But no, I'm talking to consciousness, which has no physical form. Yet I do still talk to deceased or the animals or other beings that are in physical form on either some level or have been at some time. But mostly I'm just doing light, these light beings.
Yeah.
The best way I can explain it, I got to tell you, it's hard to wrap my mind around this, but they're just benevolent, incredible, loving, pure love. And I feel them when they come through, and it's like I'm being washed with love. It's the most, it makes me emotional. It's the most divine feeling. It's just crazy.
Yeah, and you 100% trust these entities.
Oh, 100%. Again, this group I've been working since 1994, and I tell people, they go, well, I'm getting this stuff and this information, and I don't understand why they're saying this. And I go, you know what? Do not trust the accuracy of the messages. You need to wait over time. Write the messages down. I couldn't tell somebody what that time is for them. I would say for me, I didn't want to trust them for about at least 10 years, although their stuff was good. I write copious notes. Every session is written down. And back then, I used to write the questions, too. I was pretty anal about it. But now I record it all on my digital audio recorder. I record it that way or with video. And I have everything, and I still write it down. So I have everything verbatim, and I can look back on my messages, hear them again, what I asked, what they said, and see the consistency. And I tell people, you've got to look for that. And I said, when you first start this tool, you can't help but go through the lower astral levels, the ones that are stuck. We talked about earlier, those ghosts.
Yeah, low astral realms, which is the four levels of actual, which are from the earth. They are just, they're man-made, but they are the evil or the hells, if you want to put it that way.
And people call it that, and rightfully so. There's people stuck in there, and they're there because they're stuck to their energy, their last personality. Maybe they were angry, they're still angry, they're killers, they're still killers. You know, it's that kind of stuff, and they seem like demonic. They're just people that are bad. They have bad things, but they need help, like you said. I love that.
Absolutely.
You said that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Starts there. They start in that realm and tap in there first. And I say, you got to work yourself through I call it the dead zone. But it takes time to work through that. And I don't need to go, I skip that. I don't even need to go there anymore. Now I'm working this whole other realm where I can still tap into that because I use these guides that are in this other dimension. Dimensions. People tell you that all these dimensions exist. They said they're just kind of making it up. They're kind of right, but it doesn't work that way. Everything's multidimensional and it's all happening now. So it's really not these levels. And they try to explain it to me, and I gotta tell you, my third book is a lot about this, how to begin to reach these different dimensions. But, it doesn't have to be done with the board either. I want to be clear on that. It can be done in many ways, I think, as you're touching on as well, Andrew.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know.
I'm interested in the these beings, the light beings.
Oh, I love them.
You know, what do they gain from this? From communicating with yourself and I'm presuming others as well. And why is this the chosen form of communication?
They don't like this form. In fact, they tell me the board is, I shouldn't say they don't like it. They prefer to me to work with them off the board. They say it's cumbersome and it impedes our process and the information we can give. They came to me because I called out to them. We also had a soul contract before I came to this world. That's why I was able to see things as a child. They say most children are able to, but they put it away and never get back to it. And I've always held on to it. And it sounds like Andy, you have too.
Yeah. Yep.
When you do, there tends to be.
I've never had it.
You did.
You just forgot. I guarantee every kid child is born with the understanding
absolutely.
Of their connection back. Yep. And they just, you know, when you learn language, they told me that's when you start to forget things. That's when you start to doubt. It's just natural.
When you get to school, the brainwashing comes in, and, you know, then it's all this, and, you know. They never got to me anyway because I never went to school. I hated it. And I know why now, so.
But I got to tell you, they also say, Karen, you were born here to be physical, so really cherish that first, your physical form. That's what you came here to do, and your spirituality is where who you are, you truly are, and will go back to and have always been. You'll never leave that. They said, but do be physical. Physical is important. This is why you came here to do that. But they did. But they come. They don't just come to me. These beings are talking through so many people. I am humbled and honored that I took the time to reach them, and it took many years. I was 73 to 94. What was that? 21 years just to get to them. And now I've been working with them for another, 23 years. This group I'm working with was going to continue. We're going to work together forever. We've already talked about that. There's so much they want to share. It's not so much their agenda. It's that since they are expression of source, they're here to remind us, me and everybody I talk to, that we all are extension, expression of source. We truly are these incredible beings that we have no clue. And we come down here to forget because it's kind of like a game. We have amnesia and we get to have fun and play and see if we can find each other again and discover these things about ourselves. But yet it's like they never leave us. And they said we would never, if I don't want them, they don't come. And it's relationship based on what's right for me. It sounds very one-sided, but it kind of is. I'm the one having human existence. Yet I want them around because my life and who I am, how I express myself in the world, and then all my ups and downs and trials and tribulations that we all have been so much sweeter and better because of what they taught. This group specifically came through because my interest is looking at the ancient wisdom and truth and knowledge that the agnostics had or the Essenes had or all these wonderful magical mysterious groups carried with them and taught the masses and taught them this magic, if you want to call it. They taught them how to be the divine self and how to communicate with this. I had such an interest in that. That's why I attracted this group back through to me, and they said, we're here to teach the knowledge of the ages and really time applicable to your world now, and that's their message, and that's why they're here. And if anytime I said I want to do your message, they're like, okay, cool. But they've gotten me off the board, you guys, so I use the board. I still use it a lot. I do direct channeling too, and they come through quite often.
Right.
Because I allow it. I have to invite them. I have to invite them.
Well, free will, isn't it?
Absolutely free will.
Yeah, but again, absolutely. I've always said, you know, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. So, again, you know, Lee's take on that is, you know, somewhere else.
Yeah,
what is your take?
He just like, you know, whines and whatever and sits on the fence and say, yeah, that's it.
But, I mean, the spirits themselves, you know, ghosts and such, obviously I've seen sort of stuff. But the bit where it's like, making a choice, that kind of stuff, who goes where.
Oh, I see.
You know, that kind of stuff, that sort of leads me down the God route, and I just don't see any.
Well, we had a conversation last night, didn't we? It was on about, well, we both agreed there is no God. That's man-made. God is a part of religion, which again, religion
the way
again
I
is
saw, part of, yeah, the way I look at it. Yeah, I look at energy.
Where
I look
we come
at
from.
You say the universe has got like an energy, that kind of thing.
Absolutely,
what these beings are part of. But the universe does not care one little bit if we exist or not.
No, that's where you want, but that's your opinion.
That's what you think.
I'm different.
that's what I think. I think it's really not. It's going to continue without us, you know, regardless. So the bit where, you know, if we, what decisions we make alter later on, that's the bit I struggle with, because this sounds like someone's making a choice at that point.
Interesting.
But I think because we're...
What I mean by this, right, is the easiest way to simplify it is like, you know, the heaven and hell scenario. So if you're good in
man-made.
This life... Again, man-made, I know. But if you're good in this life, you go to heaven. If you're bad, you go to hell. That implies a choice, someone making a decision.
No, you've got no choice. They're telling you.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be good, you go to
hell. But that's what I'm saying. There's still a choice. There's still somebody making that decision. Between heaven and hell. It should be just, when we pass on, our energy, obviously, you know, goes somewhere, inertia, whatever. So that just goes to a place, you know, human beings or animals, whatever we are, mammals, we die, our energy goes to a place. And these beings are in that place, you know, where that energy is. That's as far as I go.
Okay, that's fair. And Andy, I'm curious, how far do you go with this?
Much further. much further than me.
I'm curious to hear.
Because I don't know if you know, well, I've been studying this for over 40 years. Also, again, psychic, medium, whatever. I'm also a huge fan of the Ether Society. I don't know if you know about the Ether Society. It's a it's like the Theosophical.
Oh, Theosophical.
It's like that, but
Theosophical Society.
That's
right.
Yeah, Metaphysics.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've been in metaphysics, the real physics, Karen, not the idiocy. What? Yeah, these
I
guys
know what
are talking
about
that.
Yeah.
The real metaphysics,
not,
how it works.
Not top new age. You're talking about the depth of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, my belief is, or my opinion is that, you know, we've been here time after time. This is just a classroom. You're here to learn a certain lesson, and then when it's time, you just go home again. You go to another a higher frequency classroom, and then you come back down. You know, I think that you really live two lives. You have this life. And then you have another life. You like it, you know, when you go to sleep at night, you know, you think, oh, you're just asleep. You know, the body sleeps, but you, the real consciousness, you go on to the astral realms and you learn something else.
Yeah, that
to me is like, so you listen, so you're having two lives, you know. And I believe that when you die, or sorry, when the body dies, because because we're energy, as we were talking before, weren't we? Energy does not die. It never can't die.
That's a law of physics.
Yeah.
Just changes form.
Yeah. So I believe that we go on and, you know, to learn. And we come back again and we learn something else and we come back again. And eventually, when we learn so many lessons, we can go on to another classroom with a higher frequency. And it's, you know, I don't believe in this God. You're saying, aren't you? I don't believe that, you know, when you die, you just go and sit with God. And that's crap. Yeah, that's just lies.
Well, you know what it is. It's a very beginning way it's a kindergarten way. And I mean, all respect to begin to look at some kind of way to manage yourself. So people need these laws and rules. And so I see the value in that because people don't have that. A lot of times they fall apart. So what's happening, I believe, in the world now, and especially it started probably happening in the early 1900s, late 1800s, although we've had many other civilizations before we're even aware of that already knew this stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, I mean, we can go way back there if we want. We'll just focus on our current lives and our current realm. And they understood that you didn't need these rules. All the mystery schools got this, and what you're talking about as well, this true metaphysics understood this. You knew who you were. You knew you had this connection back to divinity. You may not fully understand it, but you can make these connections so much easier that it wasn't mysterious. And you also knew you could have your direct relationship with Source, with this wonderful energy, and you call it any name they want to. A lot of people like the word God. I prefer to use the word Source, or all that is.
Same with me.
That encompasses the animals, the plants, the vegetables, the minerals, everything that this or Gaia, the planets, everything. And we're that way, these great mystery schools understood how to make those connections without going through a mediator. Now, I believe religion came into control to put order, to push down people, and to tell people they couldn't have this power themselves. When you tell people they can't be powerful,
in layman's terms, the religion came to take away people's magic.
Yeah, that's what we receive
as magic, you know.
That's it, that's the word, magic, because everything's magic.
It was the pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, you know. You carry on, you can farm for longer now, because I'll concentrate on all this for you, you know.
Yeah, that's it.
That's right. Yeah. And let me take away your freedom and abilities to have free thinking and to have these connections and tell you that you can't. You must pay me money, and then we'll do it for you. So, but it was necessary, I think, at times because people do find solace, community, and their churches, and I'm for that for those people. It may not be my path, but I'll respect it.
Yeah.
And it puts out a good message that, you know, we all can coexist together, and we all have many different ways to get there. But one thing, Lee, I wanted to say to you, what happens if I told you you are the universe? That means you're everything in the universe, and it all comes out of you. What would you say to that?
I'd say we could probably talk a lot at length about that, but I'd sort of go along with that.
What I'm saying is, and the guys always want me to tell people this, and I just did a live session last night on YouTube, and we had people join us and ask their questions, and they have such beautiful, you can always go back and watch that. There's beautiful things they have to say to everybody, and you can see how I work this tool. But one of the things they want us all to understand is that we are divine beings. We are the incarnate expression of God, Source, all that is.
Yeah.
The prime directive in form. Therefore, you are the one who chooses. You are the one who decides. There is nobody sitting there telling you that you go to hell, to heaven. By the way, hell and heaven's right now. It's the worst of Earth. Earth, the third dimension, is the worst. Yep. As you move to other dimensions, it's not. There's a lot more freedom, and we don't have this time linear, this space-time continuum linear that holds us back. You know, there's so much more that happens. And so you, if you think of yourself as the universe comes out of you because – now let me break this down for people to understand what I'm saying in a very simple way. Because of what you believe, perceive, intend, feel, think about – all those things within you is where the universe, boom, bursts out of your heart. You're going to go through life and experience it your own way, but based on all those backdrop you have with it, or your blueprint of who you are. So you have two people in the room who just witnessed something. They're going to see two different things because of their background. And so one message I'd like to say, I'm feeling it now, there's so much going on in the world. There's so much chaos and such sadness, and we deeply are hurting. We're confused and lost. And the guides want everybody to know that if you embrace it, but look at what change is happening, and look at how humanity, the common person, is coming forward and assisting in great divine ways. We can't wait for the governments and all these other groups to take care of us. We're coming forward and doing it, and you can see how beautiful humanity really is. And that speaks a lot to how we're waking up. We're taking matters in our own hands, and this is around the whole world we're doing this, although we still hear this horrific stuff. But understand, that's change in the world. As bad as it is, it's change in the world, and it's meant to happen so we can wake up to this wonderful humanity, divine within our humanity that we really are.
Yeah, hopefully for these low astral beings to, or entities, or, you know, these, and there's only a handful, by the way, you know, these evil that want to take over the world and destroy and kill.
Correct.
But, you know, if there's more of us awaken, then game over. He's checkmate.
That's it. Game over. Scale tip. We've got the law of critical mass at our back. You're absolutely right. And I think this is why we're seeing more things be chaotic, because we're getting to that critical point where we're actually starting to go to the other side now. And it's got to pop. And that's what we're seeing in order to heal. We're seeing that. It's horrible. We're seeing that. We're experiencing it.
I mean, but this lot has been planned for years, hasn't it? Hundreds of years, maybe thousands. It's been planned it has been planned, but, you know, it, as we said before, like, nothing's in concrete, you know.
Change. I mean, the elites have got their own agenda.
Absolutely,
You know, they can do what we call rituals, these kind of things, circumstances that cause ripples in time, or you know, the universe, and to cause certain things. And they believe what they're doing at the moment. I believe what they believe they're doing at the moment is going to bring back Jesus.
I'm interested. You've got to know who these people were and what they are. Yeah. I mean, this Jesus is master, so he's not a lord, which the religion says because it's crap.
Essentially, what they're trying to do.
He's a cosmic master.
But for me, you know, I don't give human beings any more credence than I do an animal or a stone. You know, I don't think of myself as more important than a piece of slate. You know, in the scope of the universe. So that's really where I am.
Yeah.
But it's exactly that thought sort of transcends me into the extraterrestrials, which you mentioned, because you know, I think. You know, there are extraterrestrials. I've got no doubt about that.
There was here before us.
Before
we came here.
For what the bit I own struggle with, you know, when people talk about extraterrestrials and that, is the bit where I sort of draw the line on it is I just don't think they'd have any interest in us whatsoever. I just don't see them, you know, you talk about, don't you? Andy talks about, like, them stopping nuclear wars and all this sort of stuff.
The true extraterrestrials, not the low astral realms, which are trying to impersonate them.
Whatever.
And try to blame it on them.
You know, I go back to Nagasaki and Hiroshima and stuff like that, but I just don't believe that they're that interested in us. So I'm interested to hear what they've communicated to you through.
Lovely. Well, the first group came to me, let me see, that was 89, 90, it's in one of my books. No, I didn't put this in the book. That's right. I didn't put it in the book because when I wrote The Spirits of Ouija, Four Decades of Communication, my spirit guides told me not to put that in there. It was too outrageous just 5 years ago, and they said you just need to stick with the other beings you've been communicating with, angels and pets, and keep it more simple. But now I can talk about it. So what happened was I didn't know what I thought about these guys. Although I had some experiences of lights and beings of strange nature and things of that, and that's a whole other story. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they came to me through a session, and all of a sudden we were talking to our spirit guides and angels at the time. That's when the angels started coming through. There's three people with me, or three of us. And what came through was, I remember the message, clear as bell, I have it written down. It said, we are from the seventh spiral of the purple flame. We come to you from the planet Meldek. I went, what is this? I didn't know what Meldek was. Okay, again, not
the asteroid belt.
Yeah, right. And I know all about Meldek and Mars and their fight, yeah. And it blew up and all this stuff and the astro belt. Right.
Yep.
Then you just had to go to library funds. There was no internet. There was, but nobody's using it. I think AOL dial-up just came out like at 89.90, and I started using it. But there was nothing about this. It was with a little bit in books, and all of a sudden I started reading about it a little bit later, and I went, holy cow! And I learned about it, and they said we are your ancestor predecessors to your modern day Earth, who you guys are. So yeah. I was like, what? But they've come to me throughout the time I've been using the board since then, periodically, not all the time, but they do come through, and they come through, and they'll say, I've had one just come through not too long ago. I was up in Joshua Tree, California. It's where a lot of really mystical things happen. It's high desert, and it's pretty popular out in this area outside of L.A.
Yeah,
and they do like the big UFO convention there. You're contacting the desert, it's called. You may have heard of that.
Yeah.
But it's a magical place. You see the stars brilliantly. There were some great researchers out there who did some work. But anyway, they have the Integraton out there. Oh, some really cool stuff. So we were out there, actually, in a paranormal investigation. And in the middle of this paranormal investigation, this gentleman is a man. He called himself M. He comes through and says, hey, I wanted just to try this out. I saw you guys using this tool. I've never used one before. And I'm from this planet, blah, blah, blah. I can't remember what it was. And he goes, I'm in a spaceship right now. And I'm like, what? He told us a little bit more about him, and he said, look, I don't have much time, but I want to say this. We do want to make contact. We're not going to come through until we see that everybody here is a lot more loving. We fear that you guys will just either fall down and worship us, or you're going to try to take us out. There's no in between. He says, until you guys find that, there really needs to be a lot more love in the world. It's just this basic same message that the guys are saying too. But these beings, he said, we're not far from who you are, but we can't make that. We can't make that time. We can't just come down because there'll be chaos in your world. You guys aren't ready for it, but we would love to. And so we come through opportunities like this to communicate with different people, but we can't show ourselves just yet. So that was one of the more recent ones I have. But when they come through, they've been nothing. I haven't had any negative ones. Maybe it's because it's my intentions again. They've been nothing but positive that have come through and communicate with me, and they tend to say a lot of really beautiful messages, kind of like my spirit guides, who really want to help build us up and to see the greatness of us, and they want to work with us. Now, I also talk to interdimensional beings, which exist, kind of coexist with us, but just in another phase. They're kind of like phased out, like a radio station. And I'll talk to those too, and that runs the gamut from all different kinds of creatures and characters and beings. I mean, this is what I'm doing now. This is what I've been doing for the last, probably stepped it up in the last 4 years, is speaking to different levels of consciousness. Anything that has a life to it, meaning it had a life or is in between lives, but has an awareness. So this means trees, plants, cryptids. Anything that wants to come through that comes from the same vibration. Again, I've got my spirit guides helping me.
What about,
I think it's the same with the Dalek Kingdom. You know about the Dalek Kingdom?
Oh, I sure do. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Where do, like, disabled people, mentally disabled, handicapped people, where do they come into this?
Well, would you mean like when they die or why they're born that way?
Or someone with Alzheimer's, that kind of thing. I mean,
okay.
My opinion is that that's off the body, when they go,
I agree with you.
Yeah, what's your take on it, Karen?
Yeah. I think I love that you brought this up. I think there's a lot of people that we were all trying to understand, why would a baby die after 2 days? Why would somebody come in with these terrible disabilities, or, you know, die of cancer at the age of 10? And why would somebody get Alzheimer's or die suddenly in a car wreck? And just, this is from my background as a psychotherapist and doing hypnosis work and doing a lot of regression work to help people go back to wherever the original cause happened. And I got to say, I wasn't like trying to take them into past lives. They went there. It was like going back to an earlier time in which this condition started, and many of them would go back to other lifetimes, and so you just follow that. And what one of the things that I did that was kind of unique, I don't know how many past lives people are doing it now, I think there more people are starting to do it, but I had this wonderful psychologist I worked under. I did past life therapy on myself for 2 years, and then I studied with her as a clinical therapist, became a clinical hypnotherapist. And she also studied, or should say, she was a colleague of Dr. Brian Weiss. She taught us, once we do any kind of recall of even a future life or a past life, go into the in-between life. When you go into the in-between, you have a greater understanding along with guides that are there to help you, and you go back into that memory, and that's what third dimension thinks of it. We see it as back or forward, where other dimensions see it as all happening concurrently, simultaneously. But you go back into that and you understand, why did you come with this affliction? Why did you choose the family you chose? Why are people born with these conditions that are just unbearable? Why would somebody die after 2 days and sudden infant death? And they find out that that was the commitment, that was the contract, that was what they chose. Because they come back not just for themselves, you come back in soul groups. And you come back with people, souls you've been with before, and you circle around again. And then you decide, I'm going to play this part. I'm going to be the mean stepfather, and yep, I'm going to be the person that shoots you. This is how – it's all karmic, you know, in a way, and it sounds disgusting, but it truly is. We get an opportunity to burn off karma, if you want to call that. I like to say we get an opportunity to develop our proclivities and abilities and realize, remember who we are, and rise above it back to this spiritual state. But in between lives, people started discovering this. And then a lot of people talk about it now. They're writing about it, why people come into this world. And I got to experience that firsthand, and not just by myself, but with my clients.
Hmm. I mean, that makes sense.
Everything has a purpose.
The only problem with it all is that
we are in a classroom. Yeah. You're here to learn. But that's it.
You see, that's the problem. If we don't know that,
we don't know. We have amnesia, and the guides told me about that.
That sort of defeats the object for me.
But the guides say you purposely chose to have amnesia so you can find this beautiful love within without easily giving it to you. They say the reason why your life is full of murky waters, this is the exact message. The reason why your life is full of murky waters, if it was clear, you'd see everything. What would be worth living? They said, trust us. You only want to live because you don't know what's coming next. It's a great mystery, and finding yourself in that process, your heart within, and finding that within others is what the goal is every time in school and classroom, as you're saying, Andy. So that's what they're talking about. That's why we can't know. If we knew, why be here? We would be, but we come here because we don't know, and we can't find it. You know, we have great masters. Let's just say Jesus Christ, Buddha, Allah. These are these people that existed, Mother Teresa. There's common people to this day. Sai Baba. Yeah, I love him. And who could do this? Unconditional love. Mother Teresa in Calcutta did this. Sai Baba did it every day. Now, will all of us do that? Probably not. We got to come back a few more times. But it's for us to wake up to that, and we can't wake up to it if it's given to you. Oh, everything's cool. Don't forget, this is who you are. You'll have total recall. Then there's no school. And by the way, we graduated to a high degree to be able to come back here and experience this with total amnesia. That's an advanced person or advanced soul that can do that. And we've been told opposite of that. We told we're paying for our sins. The truth is, we're advanced souls to be able to come back here. We just forget it. We get so caught up in the material, we forget. We just forget, sadly.
Fair enough. So this, getting into this regression then, because this past life, I mean, I've got memories that are not my memories, okay? Mm-hmm. And I often wonder, and I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to say what they are,
I can imagine.
Yeah, but these memories, there's, I mean, one particular memory is where I'm pulling on these boots, these leather boots, and they're not obviously, you know.
Okay.
I've got to be careful. I've got to be careful what I say here.
Yeah.
I'm pulling on these leather boots, and they are men's boots. Okay.
You haven't got a whip, have you?
Yeah, but it's in the countryside. It's obviously in a forested sort of area. Yeah, and I'm overlooking this village on this hillside, and I'm pulling these boots on, and then next thing I know, I'm hit on the head.
It's
my memory, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, that never happened to me.
Right.
But that's just as, you know, vivid to me now as if, you know, remembering when I was 5 years old opening my Christmas present, my bicycle, you know, it's in there. And so I've often wondered where these memories come from. Now, I'm sort of going down the route of memories can be passed on genetically.
Absolutely agree. Concur.
Yeah, so I'm not sure whether it comes that way. But the past life thing, you know, I've looked, you know, seriously looked into doing it myself, and I've tried to be hypnotized, and that didn't work.
No, I've been tried, but they couldn't hypnotize me for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah. But the problem with the past life regression is you get everybody coming out saying that they're Henry VIII, you know.
Right.
Shine off.
It's tough to believe when people start saying that. This is my take on it. And then when I was training, I asked that question. Everybody's going to want to be Cleopatra or, you know. Patrick Henry or George Washington in our country, you know.
Has anybody ever come through saying, I was Adolf Hitler?
But this is what I believe, and just from my experiences too. And I remember one of the things that the therapist, psychologist I studied with, she said, you know what? And I remember in graduate school too, when my training was part of this Tickets of Art therapy, they say, don't tell somebody what the picture means. Let them tell you what it means. Yeah. So a lot of times we have memory. I'm going to say quote unquote, air quotes, memories. We might call them memories because they're coming up to us. These could be passed through ancestral, genetic DNA. It could be you're tapping in somebody else's mind. You're tapping into the deceased and picking up a memory telepathically. We're all connected. So you got to look at it holistically this way. It doesn't necessarily mean past life. I think we kind of put it in a pigeonhole and we said past life because the truth is we should say regression and progression therapy in our timeline. When you get into the in-between world, and when I regress people there, I could say progress them as well. When you go into that hypnotic state and you can get in that into between place, there is no sense of time and you get to feel that again, what that's like. It's like dreaming, okay? You're in point A and then all of a sudden you're in point Z and you don't even know how you got there and it's all happening concurrently. The other theory is this. All of your lives, whether it's the one on the hillside you get knocked on the head or right now who you are is Lee, it's all happening right now simultaneously and you just happen to glance into it. You got a snippet of that came to you in a dream or a day reverie or a waking dream and all of a sudden you've got that snippet and wow, part of you died over here but you're still alive over here. That's the part we can't understand in third dimension. So I'm open to, we don't know, but I'm also open to saying we have such diverse experiences that are unique and so many new ones are coming out, people are talking about them, that I'm not going to say throw it all out. I'm going to say, you know what, does all that really matter? What matters is, are things changing in your life? Are you feeling, are you starting to experience joy? Are you beginning to remember why you came here? Are you beginning to see who your greatest self is? That's what's important. So I never got so much, okay, yeah, you're Betsy Ross. I had somebody come to me, she became Betsy Ross. And I was like, cool, I'm not going to judge that. That's cool. But I had people come to me as paupers and beggars and lawyers and all this weird stuff, alchemists. And, you know, they weren't necessarily popular people. Some were, some weren't. I didn't have any popular lives. I got to tell you, I was nobody famous. And I did, like, I think a total of 52 memories. It was crazy how many I have on old cassette tapes. But it's like, it doesn't matter. It could be a metaphor, too. And also, when you work with soul groups, you could be of the soul group of King Henry III or something, and you're having those memories because you're pulling from that group that you belong to. And that doesn't necessarily mean they're your memories, but yet they kind of are if we're all connected. And if we're all source, we're all connected at one somewhere.
Yeah.
It becomes a very esoteric philosophical discussion when we start talking spiritualism. I can't help but go there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I can't.
What do you guys think? I mean, it's...
No, I can't disagree. Sorry, my rub went down the wrong hole there.
Yeah.
I can't disagree really with that. The only issue I've got with all this is this premise that we don't remember. I just don't see the point. You know,
if you knew what your lessons were, you won't come down.
Yeah, but surely,
if you knew you was a powerful and wonderful being, you know, and you're here, if you stopped that, you'd be jumping off the bridge.
You want to go home.
Right.
You've got to keep grounded.
But surely, if you're making the same mistakes over and over again, it'd be nice to
know. Doesn't matter.
What you've got to.
You can't die anyway. You just keep coming back and back and back until you get it right. That's it.
You know what? Do you know what the deceased tell me? I speak to them quite often. People usually come to my shows or my sessions, and they want to talk to the deceased. And I'm like, okay, cool, we'll talk to them. You know, there's so much more, but let's start there. And what they say is, they say, oh my God, I'm home. This is like a party. And you and my guides call. They say, what you call death, we don't understand that term. Oh, then you think it's an ending. What you call death, we call true life. You're really back to who you were. Yeah. And every single deceased person I talk, even the ones that are stuck, when they finally go into the light, if they choose that with me, if they don't choose it, I don't push anybody into the light. That's for them to ask, and I'm willing to help, and I tell them that every time. But when they make that transition, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe I waited this long. It's beautiful. And then all of a sudden they're smothered and they're succumbed in this light. And I have to agree with you, Andrew, when you said, if you know it all, you know who you were before, and you know this greatness about yourself, you wouldn't stay here and want to live it.
You
just jump off the bridge. You would commit suicide because you go, well, the hell's the point? I'm going to go back and live in real life
because here, I don't call this life here. It is not
and
life.
You don't learn.
You don't learn
if you don't learn. If you don't, you know, you don't know what the light is unless you experience the dark, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to experience, and we're about dualistic. We're dualism out here. We have black, white, up, down, bad, good, hate, fear, love,
fear. Dark,
All
crap, but that's necessary in this realm so we can begin to negotiate, navigate, and realize what do we want to be drawn to. Let's learn, oh, that hurt. Okay, I don't want to put my hand on that hot stove anymore. Let's go over here and try this now. And that's simplistic, but, you know, we make choices in our life. They don't go so well. And you're going to go, I kind of screwed that one up. Let me try this different this time. And then you start learning, and you look back and go, in hindsight, that wasn't the worst thing that happened to me. Wow, I ended up over here. So it's the magic and mystery of it. We get to experience this without having the full recall. We would be blinded by light and not want to experience it, not want to learn. And we have to evolve. We have to evolve. This is the best place to evolve. This is the best.
If you don't evolve, I mean, I think mankind, myself, my personal belief is they've gone backwards.
We've
involved, not evolved. You know? And it's where... You know, it's this kind of madness, isn't it, now, where, you know, people aren't into this. They're into their Xbox or PlayStations or other technology, and, you know, their eyes are looking down.
iPhone.
You know, no more stars, looking to the stars and to the heavens, are they? They're just, you know.
Or no more looking within. No. And that's the key. The whole universe exists within you. What you want to call God, source, it's within you. That's the beings tell me all the time. They say, there's no guru out there. It's you. Your answers are all within. And you look at some of the brilliant writings and poetry. I love Rumi. He talks about all the time. He talks about how the garden is within. And that's the truth. And heaven and hell, it's all within. I mean, we fight our own heaven and hell sometimes daily with people, right? People do. We all have our ups and downs. Where it all exists. You live it. From there, you experience it. You express it. You become source expressing itself in the world, and you're never disconnected from that. It's beautiful.
Like I say, it all sounds great to me. So I'm fully aboard.
You might jump off the fence. Yeah, here. Hopefully,
there's two questions that I want to ask you before we go, and one of those is the spirit guides. You know, Andy, you've got your own spirit guide.
White Wolf is my protector guide.
Yeah, it comes in wolf form.
Beautiful. I have some animal guides too. I love that.
That's one of the questions that I've got for you, is just, you know, these guides, what do they represent? What do they show themselves as? That's the first question. And then I just want to end on sort of like getting into the where you see Bigfoot in all this.
Oh, my God. I could tell you all about Sasquatch. I talked to him a lot.
That'll be fantastic, that show.
Let's start with the guides.
I don't care how crazy it sounds. You guys are open to it. And at this point, I don't care anymore because it's just consciousness. Everything works at a vibration. If you could reach that vibration, it works out. You could communicate with it. It's not necessarily words like we have. When I talk to the animals, it comes mostly in pictures, although some of the animals do spell out on the board with the help of other spirit guides. So let's back to your first question. You said, how do they present themselves? Well, over the years, I've collected a pantheon of representation, and now I call it the Council of Karen. It's kind of cute. And on that council, it changes. But one of the beings I have on there is an owl. Now, I see owls all the time. I see owls when you shouldn't see owls. I see great horns where they don't exist. Wherever I show up, there tends to be an owl. I'm not saying every time, but it's kind of rare. And I know the owls are for me. When one of my dear mentors, 30 years my senior, I had three of those in my life. They're beautiful women. And this one, we did powerful spiritual dancing, belly dancing with women, and taught them to empower themselves. And this woman and I worked together, taught these courses, and then, you know, she died. I moved away. She died. It was horrible. But the night before she knew she died, the night of, and I didn't know she was dead, her daughter didn't tell me for some time after, a white owl flew within 10 feet of me, looked at me, and went across the street, sat on a tree, went to another tree, tri-located me, and then left. And I said, oh, I wish Juana was here, because that she loved owls too, and she loved the white owl. And sure enough, that was the night she died. She came to me in a symbol that I could relate to, because that was one of my spirit animals, was one of hers. So owl shows up. Does owl talk to me? Not necessarily. Snakes. I have snakes in my yard all the time. People are amazed. I got rattlesnakes. I got gardener snakes, all kinds of snakes, and people freak on them, and I love snakes. And I put them on Facebook. I take pictures of them. I used to create them in artwork, and that's another one of my animals. Dude, they talk to me. This snake did talk to me. But they don't always talk. Sometimes they come in symbols and signs or to say your friend has passed on. But then my big group of collective beings I call the guides, they fully communicate. There's no form they have. They fully just communicate in my thoughts, in my dreams, and also through the board is where I first met them, and we're now off the board too. And I have another group of advanced beings that are coming through, and they come through solely within my mind, and I have to take down, I write it, I have to dictate it as the words just flow, and I let it fly. It's like automatic writing, and they have much to say. And then let's talk about Sasquatch. Sasquatch is not on my, he's not on my Council of Karen, although maybe he should be. I say he because I spoke to the consciousness of Sasquatch, meaning not, I spoke to the oversoul species, a concept of oversouls of a type of species of animals. And when it came through, he said, we've kind of find the word Bigfoot is derogatory because it's pointing out a part of our body. He said, however,
yeah, it's like someone big nose.
Exactly. or your little feet. You know, your little feet are half the size of mine. He said, what do you prefer? And he said, I prefer what your natives call. And the one I'm familiar with in my country is Sasquatch. Mm. And then we've got Yeti. That's another name. There's different names around the world. And there's ones in China and your country.
Pandek, your own.
See, and he prefer that. But they did tell me this. They said, we are interdimensional beings. We do live physically here on your earth, but we have ability to go in and out of phase, in and out of dimensions, which most of the cryptids do. Doesn't mean they don't coexist with us. They have the ability. They speak telepathically, and they love to leave us gifts, and they talk to us telepathically all the time. They say they try to. They think we're kind of ignorant because we lost that ability when we had it once before. They just go on and tell me so many things about themselves. It's just crazy.
That's why I brought him up, because you see this in so many sightings and accounts where they're here 1 second, gone the next.
Uh-huh.
It could just be that they're, you know, obviously they're more adept in the forest or whatever.
That's so part of it too. We want to stay away from you.
But you do get these cloaking stories, you know, this kind of stuff. Yeah. And this ties right back to the Nephilim. Where they seem to have the same ability and shapeshifting and all the rest of it that goes with that. So that's pretty much why I brought him up, just to see where he fits in the timeline.
Well, see, in the Native Americans in our country, in America, South and North, we believe in that shamanic, you know, shapeshifting and being able to go in and out of dimensions. And so that's very common from some of those native, you know, cultures. Mm. Aboriginals believe it too. They believe in dreamtime. Yep. They believe in all that, you know. So, and especially in you guys' country, you have, like you talked about, the Devic nature spirits, and they
Devic kingdom. Yeah,
they have the ability to do that too.
See, I love the Aboriginal stuff because it's all oral.
You know, you've got the fairies, you've got the elves, you've got the gnomes, which do exist. You know, they do exist.
I believe you.
But on a different frequency, you know, where...
Right, and that's why people see them sometimes, and they step into that frequency, and sometimes they don't know how they did, and it's an accident, and other time, and they want to tell you about the mermaids, the unicorns, they step into a frequency, and then they can't remember how to do it, and they go, I better not tell anybody that, they're going to think I'm freaking crazy.
I draw the line on mermaids, I think.
Well, no, not really. Again, you know, I think the mermaids was, you know, this goes back to Atlantis, you know, where the people at the time had great minds, you know, they were telepathic and could think something into being.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a legend. Whole other concept.
You know, you got the Minotaur, which worked the land. You got the mermaids where they went into the sea and brought the food out. You've got the centaurs that went to the forest and brought out the berries and all that, you know, so, you know, it could make a bit of sense there. Well, anyway, that's just my opinion.
Daydream.
No, well, it's legend. You know, where there's a legend, there's truth. Some kind of truth.
Yeah, there's always truth in myth, isn't there?
Yeah.
But, we'll have to leave it there then today. But, I mean, it's been
fantastic, Karen. I'd like you to add me to, I'd like, you know, if I can add you to my Facebook, if, you know.
Oh, yeah, please, let's do. And may I tell people where they can find me, too, if they're curious?
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, I would love to. And let's definitely connect. I know you know my friend Claire Broad, and she introduced me to you guys.
Fantastic.
I have a lot of respect for her. She's good at what she does, and she's a brilliant writer. I got a pre-release of her book. She's going to be on my show soon, and I think she's fabulous. So, yes, you can find me anywhere on the internet under Karen A. Dahlman, Dahlman. Good German name. And I'm also on YouTube. I have a couple shows on there. One is called The Women of Ouija. We talk 67 videos of nothing but Ouija. And then a new show I'm doing, I think I have about, I don't know, 40 videos in there. It's all about working and reaching into the unseen dimensions. I have great guests on there who do this work. And then I, myself, my board partner, we bring out messages for people. Join me there because you can join one of my live sessions and actually interact with us and ask questions directly to the guides. Get to meet these beings and meet your own. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I'm well up for that.
Please check out YouTube and my website. You can go to KarenADahlman.com or Creative Visions Publications, my publishing house.com, and you can find me there. Enjoy my newsletter. There's all kinds of fun stuff. Free articles on everything we talked about today, metaphysics, spirituality, a lot about the talking board. I get a lot. Ask me your questions. I answer every single email, and I'll get back to you. I take this work seriously. I'm very passionate about it, and I want everybody to understand that they, too, can reach into the realms. It's nothing reserved for the elite. It's for all of us.
Absolutely.
And thank you, gentlemen, for your show.
It's been a pleasure. Absolute pleasure, Karen.
My pleasure.
Very much indeed.
And we'll definitely speak again.
Definitely.
Great, you guys. Thank you again, and have a fabulous rest of the weekend.
Well, they've gone. No, just for now. It wasn't the right time for us to meet. But there'll be other nights, other stars for us to watch. They'll be back. We'll be right back.